T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Thanks for listening to the Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you by Les Schwab Tire Centers. It'll be the best 45 minutes of your life, I promise. Doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning with Dusty Hera and NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal of Michigan, most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me.
On 1080.
I'm the best ever.
The Fan.
Good morning. Happy Monday to you, the 15th of April. Happy tax day. Happy tax day.
There was a little extra good in that good.
Yeah.
Why was there some extra good in that good? Are you okay? No. Pause. Pause for a moment. No, pause for a moment. No, it's not what you think. No, it's not what you think.
Okay.
I don't have my headphones on, so I can't hear anything yet, Buck. So don't play anything yet. I would like to congratulate Mr. Hera on his sweep of my Mariners.
Oh.
I appreciate, look.
Okay, that was not what
I'm
I was
honest.
Expecting.
I want to start with the most important news of the day.
Okay.
Is that when you think you're good, the good team comes in and goes, guess what? You're not good. You're just gooder. We're gooder. And that's what happened. So that's a good baseball team.
That's
a damn good baseball
that.
Team. And I watched almost every second of all those games, and that's a good baseball team.
Yeah.
I give credit where credit is due. I'm not that kind of fan.
Yeah. The Astros swept the Mariners over the weekend, but that was not even in our notes for today.
So I take that. See, I surprised you.
You definitely did.
Hey, I'd also like to announce.
That's two good teams.
Yeah, it's good teams. It's good teams. I'd like to announce that the Astros will be losing when the Mariners decide to eventually play at Minute Maid.
Minute Maid.
Because they won the series in Houston last year, and then the Astros won it in Seattle.
In Seattle. Okay.
So that's your Mariner moment.
At
least the home run streak is still alive.
I thought it ended on Saturday.
No, it's still going.
Oh, okay.
Mitch Haniger hit a home run yesterday.
I know yesterday. I was talking about Saturday.
Saturday was a home run.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just saying.
I'm just saying. Your team's better. I can admit your team is better.
Yeah.
Does that make you feel good?
Mm-hmm. It does make me feel good. It makes me feel good about myself.
Good.
And about what's
good. That's
happening.
What all I wanted to talk about today was Mariners and Astros. That's it. There was nothing else that was exciting over the weekend at all. Nothing.
1,000
maybe a few other things.
And 72. Do you know what 1,072 is?
Yes, I do. I know exactly what it is.
That is how many days between the Blazers' last playoff victory and their win yesterday in the postseason. 1,072 days from May 7th, 2016 until yesterday afternoon. The Blazers were 0-10 in the postseason. They got their first win of the playoffs. Way to go, Blazers.
It was.
Hornswoggled, befuddled.
They beat the Oklahoma City Thunder 104-99, and they take a 1-0 series lead. The Blazers will absolutely not be swept. And Jennifer became popular on Twitter again yesterday.
She is. There's Jennifer again.
I'm trying Jennifer.
Who is Jennifer?
She's just a fan who called out C.J. McCollum last summer when she said, win a playoff game first, and C.J. said, I'm trying, Jennifer. Blazers get their win behind unbelievable performances from Dame, C.J., and Enes Kanter to carry
good
the
for
Blazers
to win. Man, going up against his former team, stomping a hole through Steven Adams.
Becoming only the third Blazer ever to go 20-18 in a playoff game.
And I'd like to throw a tremendous amount of shade at ESPN.
Okay,
And what they did in the pregame.
Mm-hmm.
They angered me beyond belief.
Why is that?
They sent me down a rabid anger
of
whatever that NBA, who is it? Paul Pierce. Michelle Beadle.
Right.
And I think it was, who was the last one?
I didn't watch any of the pregame. I was in a car.
Jalen Rose.
Oh, Jalen Rose. Okay.
Jalen Rose. They were all going over who was the greatest Blazer of all time. And guess who they asked? Who was the greatest Sonic of all time?
Well, that's true.
No, it's not.
What's wrong?
And then they don't get that. And then they went into which had a better championship. Which team had a better champion? The 77 Blazers or the 79 Sonics? And I went, wait a minute, Oklahoma City, you pieces of crap. Mm. You don't get to take that, but they did. They stole it.
They kind of have to.
And they spent the whole time comparing franchise crap like that.
Well, it should make you feel better that.
And Jalen Rose, by the way, picked better iconic player. He picked Clyde.
That's fair.
And Paul Pierce picked the glove.
That's
it. Drives me insane looking at that group and looking at them mention Sonics in the same breath.
Well,
don't
I mean,
you
the Sonics
well
did move to Oklahoma City.
I know, but they didn't move. The Oklahoma City was taken.
You can thank Howard Schultz for that. Yeah. To blame Starbucks.
I do. Every day I drink their coffee.
Yeah, and you drink their coffee. You're not going with the silent protest of I'm not going to Starbucks anymore.
No, I'm not
anymore.
That dumb. I'm not that petty.
Well,
I'm very petty, but I'm not that petty.
The Blazer fans out there can say suck at Seattle and suck at Oklahoma City.
That's the part. You said, hey,
you know,
hammer it down twice.
Double whammy, bam, bam, get rid of both of them. And the Blazers are winners of game one. We'll have a lot on game one. We'll get you audio from the locker room as our Brandon Sprague and Marcus Greaves were at Moda Center yesterday for all the festivities, and they gathered a bunch of audio. We'll play some of that for you. Hear from Lillard, Cantor, and Terry Stotts. One of the great things that came out of yesterday was an Enes Kanter drop about the playoffs. We will have it for you later in the show. Cantor is a lovable character. I mean, unless you're a dictator in Turkey, but he can be a guy who is can be a funny quote, and we have one, a blast from the past from Enes Kanter that we'll play for you today.
Wonderful.
A lot of other NBA playoff stuff that happened over the weekend because poor shooting seemed to be a common theme throughout the game ones in the NBA playoffs. And then,
upsets?
Yeah, a lot of upsets.
Upsets.
On Saturday alone, the home teams went 1-3. Mm-hmm. That kind of came back to earth yesterday, but 1-3 on Saturdays for home teams in the postseason, and then a lot of Blazers talk between now and then. 55305 is the better you today text line. There's also this guy named Tiger.
That happened.
Eldrick Woods did it again.
I got emotional.
Did you?
Oh, God, yeah, I got emotional. Are you kidding me? I'm human.
Was it the win or was it after?
Everything. Every little second of it. It's going to be a big theme today. The emotion of what Tiger did.
At what point did your eyes get misty?
Right at 16.
Oh, so before the thing was done?
Yeah. Because 16, I knew it was over.
When Michael Phelps was helping him stare down that tee shot?
Playing the ridge.
Playing that ridge. He swung a 9-iron, or I'm sorry, it was an 8-iron in there. Mm-hmm. As soon as that ball started rolling, I went, my gosh. I knew he was going to make the putt. But is this going to go in again? It's slow roll. Is he going to do it? We can see a Bridgestone ball this time instead of a Nike.
Yeah.
I knew it was done. It was done. And then also to cap it off with a drive on 17, which is one of the toughest driving holes, bang, just hit, and then it was this game over.
Yeah,
it was game over.
That was special. I didn't get emotional about Tiger winning until I saw him, and this is the great part about sports. We want moments in our sports. When he walked off of 18 and he saw his kid, how could you not get emotional at that? If you didn't have a little bit of feelings there when his son with a massive smile on his face and that picture of emotion that was there. And then the side-by-side photos that happened afterwards of Earl meeting him when he came off after his first Masters win and the big hug he got. And he got the exact same one from his son after he has a 14-year absence from winning a green jacket. And his son was there to greet him. That was special, man.
It meant a lot. It meant a lot to golfers. It meant a lot to everybody. Even if you hated or loved him in that moment, be able to see that. Now there's so many words. There's not enough words. We'll be able to talk about it a lot and how much it affected you because there's just been 22 years between Masters championships. And the 22 years, thank gosh, I've been upright because I've got to witness it all.
There is a big question that is looming. Is this one of, if not the greatest comebacks in sports? That will be the focus today. From 6:30 until 7, where we're rolling something new out, so stay tuned. The greatest comeback in sports, 55305. It is something new and for you, the listener. Case of the Mondays, as always, 7:45 today. What's grinding your gears? Buck is a noted non-Tiger man, so we may have an idea what that is.
Okay.
But it's also tax day, so.
Yeah, that could be. You could be happy or you could be sad.
Right. We also have one other thing to get to today. The latest update on Russell Wilson is not great news for Seahawks fans. We'll have the latest on today being the deadline for a new contract for Russell Wilson. What Peter King of NBC Sports and Pro Football Talk had to add to that conversation, that is on the docket for today as well. But right now...
I remember it was just like yesterday.
On this date in sports history, 1947, Jackie Robinson debuts as a member of the Brooklyn Dodgers. Happy Jackie Day.
Happy Jackie Day.
Everybody can wear 42. Is it today the day they do it?
I know.
It's correct, yeah.
Every single player in Major League Baseball.
Every April 15th.
Will be wearing the number 42 on today when Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier for the Brooklyn Dodgers. So... that happened on today in sports. This is turning into a phenomenal day in sports. We've got Blazers. We've got Tiger. We've got Jackie Robinson Day. A little bit of everything for you as where we start. The streak is over. Where do the Blazers go from here? It is 6-12 on the Fan.
I mean, it's a great feeling. We came into this series knowing that we got to be the team to deliver the first blow. We got to come out aggressive and make a stand, you know, regardless if it's a win or a loss. You know, we made it a point to come out here and be aggressive and just have that attitude of we're going to be here all night. And we did that and got the first one.
Damian Lillard and the Portland Trail Blazers did just that yesterday. 104-99, stealing game one in front of a national audience on ABC. Lillard lighting up the Thunder. 30 points in the game one victory for the Portland Trail Blazers and locked in. We had our concerns heading into this series about what Portland would be able to do outside of Dame and CJ. Enes Kanter was the guy who did it. 20 points, 18 boards. 20 points, 18 boards for the Portland Trail Blazers big man yesterday. And that is exactly what you're going to need. Are you okay over there?
Oh, my computer blew up.
Yeah. I'm sorry, man.
Blew up. I'm about ready to punch it.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's Monday. Case of the Mondays.
You just looked kind of rattled over there for 1 second.
No, that's all right. We move on.
Oh, man.
We're professional. Be professional. Be able to adjust. Move.
Oh,
adjust.
Yeah, try. You can get your hype. I'm like,
no. Yeah, I was a little hornswoggled and befuddled there just for a small moment.
You got collaborated.
I did.
That sucks, man.
No, it's technology.
You're going to office space that thing. And it is deserving.
But you said how many days was it between?
1,072.
Okay, so it's been that many days between a win and what we thought this year. What we thought this year at the end of the season was going to be one of those series where everybody holds their breath.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm not holding my breath as much right now, but I feel pretty confident that this is going to be a full series. Not one of those, I wonder, the whole time I was waiting for that in this game. Now, I didn't get to watch all the game because I was busy. I was at a tournament. I had my app open trying to watch Masters, trying to watch baseball, trying to watch all of this, and just tremendous amount of activity. But the fourth quarter, I get a chance to see the fourth quarter, which I thought was great.
Right.
And so if you're saying that it's Enes Kanter, was he the deciding factor for all of you listeners out there and for yourself? Because if he was able to do that and inject that kind of energy that the Blazers needed, you know, that's what gets you out of the first round is play like that.
Look, there's a lot of stuff that kind of went into Portland getting a win. And the first one is, you know, when we broke this game down late last week and we were talking about what we thought Oklahoma City was going to do. Double team Dame, double team CJ, and say somebody else beat us, right? That's what the Thunder were going to do. Dame comes out, first bucket of the game is a 35-footer from the Moda Center logo, right? And he was like, you're not going to be able to do that to me in this game, right? Whatever it was that New Orleans was able to do last year, he said, not going to happen. But you still needed somebody else, and that was Enes Kanter. Yeah, Kanter played wonderfully yesterday. Mm-hmm. And really on both ends of the floor, they went after him a lot early, which we knew they were going to do on the pick and roll game because everybody's done that with Enes Kanter as a starting center. But he found a way to haul in rebounds, limit opportunities for Oklahoma City, despite the fact that they got a ton of offensive rebounds. They were wildly inefficient and could not make a three to save their lives. Something else we talked about last week. As much as it was Dame, CJ, and Enes being active on the offensive end, Oklahoma City couldn't hit a three for to save their lives until the end of that fourth quarter. To save their lives.
Well, they're bad shooters. I mean, you're going to ask Westbrook to be the guy that wins you a game from shooting outside. Now, he gets to the rack as good as anybody in the league. That's what it is. And then with his ankle bothered. And then for also, too, I was trying to follow Twitter at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Beating up Paul George a little bit on the shoulder.
Yeah, Harkless did off, a great job.
Taking him off some screens, finding a way to get in, agitate. That's what you do. You know, we used to do that in football, too, because if you're hurt one ankle, you better make sure you tape the other one, because if you show any sort of weakness with all that game tape on, what is that stuff those guys put on?
The Kinesis tape.
Yeah, they do kinetic tape that puts on and makes it better. Fine, makes it better, but right. You've already just given everybody a signal of what to go after.
Yeah, and they went after it, and Harkless did a great job of, you know, it wasn't anything dirty, but he was giving him some bumping and action down the floor. He looked uncomfortable. You mentioned Russell Westbrook in that third quarter kind of rolls his ankle just trying to keep Dame in front of him, and he didn't look the same after that. You got to have big concerns if you're Oklahoma City. But with all of that said, I mean, look, the Blazers won by 5 yesterday. Mm-hmm. And Oklahoma City went 5 of 33 from 3. 5 of 33. They shot 15%. Okay? That's 2 threes.
Well, they're not going to do that the entire series.
No, they won't. And that's got to be the concerning part. And you mentioned Westbrook getting to the rack. If there's one thing that if you're a Blazer fan, you got to sit there and be like, all right, what is going to be the next step? You've got to find a way to make it more difficult for him to get through the lane, because he opens up so many more opportunities, and they couldn't hit him to save their lives, and the Blazers made him pay for that. But you got to make it tougher on him getting to the rim.
Well, it also sounds like everything that we discussed that Coach Stotts was listening to, because we told him to make Westbrook shoot,
mm-hmm.
and he did that.
Yep, everybody shoot.
Yeah, but some of the logo shots that Dame was making, I mean, those, as much as you want to say, yeah, you had a 5-point win. Those are, you're supposed to have those kind of wins versus Oklahoma City. They swept you during the season. We're not going to see 32-point blowouts like you see from in the East, or I'm sorry, from like what the Rockets did to the Jazz.
Right.
I mean, my goodness, you're just not going to see that in this series. It's going to be back and forth.
You know, this text on the Better You Today text line 55305. Why did the Thunder go away from the pick and roll with Adams? I thought that was going to be their bread and butter. It will be moving forward and through this series, because the Blazers just weren't doing a great, they never do a great job with, especially with Cantor as your center defending the pick and roll. But one thing I think it was is they were packing in the paint so much that it was daring them to knock down a three and not get to the rim. And if you're Billy Donovan, with the way that game was playing out, you probably had faith that we're going to knock a couple down. We're going to knock it. We're still in this thing. We're going to be able to knock a couple down. They just couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. Give credit to the Blazers, though. That was a big win for them. And I thought taking charges, I don't know how the game's going to be officiated moving forward. And, Buck, I don't know if you had a good feeling for this either. You probably saw this
a little bit towards the end.
But
they were allowing a few things, but they didn't like some of the charges.
Well, Portland got a benefit of the doubt, and they were in good position. But there was so many guys were taking charges. Dame, Rodney Hood took a couple. Seth Curry was getting their feet set. Aminu and Harkless were kind of those defensive stoppers that didn't give you much offensively, but kind of muddied the waters enough to where Oklahoma City couldn't get into a rhythm. Anytime that they were starting to go on that run and that physical play was starting up, there would be, you know, a charge taken on the other end, and it just stymied any sort of momentum whatsoever. And Blazers bench, if you're looking at a bright spot or something bright moving forward, Blazers bench didn't play amazingly well. They have a lot left in that tank, and they were still able to get a win. I mean, you got most of your points out of three different guys in that game. Dame, 30, CJ, 24, Cantor.
Well, it's a great win. Come on. We've been waiting this for 2 years. Yeah. We didn't want to see it last year. It's a great win for everybody in Portland, and watching it at home in the playoffs when you needed to. And then even Dame and him just saying, this is what we do. We got to step up. Everybody was waiting for this, and you got a chance to see it. And you're shorthanded.
Yeah.
You're shorthanded without your star leader in the center.
And it doesn't look like the Thunder are 100% by any stretch of the imagination.
Doesn't matter, man.
With Russ's ankle and with Paul George's shoulder. I mean, yeah, those guys are there, and they will be a force in this series. I mean, heck, you know, Paul George, he didn't shoot well at all yesterday for his standards. He still had 26 points. You know, he had 26 points in that win or in that loss. for OKC. He's still going to get his. Westbrook is still going to get his.
Oh, yeah. They'll have a good series. It'll be fine.
It is continue to make it so Steven Adams is a non-factor. Ferguson, a non-factor who didn't shoot well. And then Schroeder was horrific off the bench shooting. I mean, he went, their bench went 0 for 9 from 3.
So I like the game plan. I also like the fact that defense was something that was, it was a priority for the Blazers.
A guy that you said was one of your X factors in the series, Zach Collins, he looked lost. The moment looked too big for Zach yesterday. I'm the Zach defender. The moment was too big for him.
It's just emotionally too big, but there is a second gear that you have to go to. Dame gets it. CJ gets it. Enes Kanter's a veteran, even though he's young. He's only 26 year old. They've been in this war a little bit. Yep. That's why I keep saying is that it's big boy time.
Yep.
Even though you have to take your game up, you have to take your mindset up. And sometimes you can watch guys, and it's not a fault to Zach. He just is not there yet mentally and physically. You got to go to a different level.
You know, and Pio and Dustin sends this text, you know, it's about time the Blazers had some luck. Paul George is really hurt. That may give the series to the Blazers. You know, I think here in Portland, we get so wrapped up in Pio and Dustin, you're right. I mean, if Paul George isn't healthy, Russell Westbrook isn't healthy.
They're stars. They hurt. That's a big difference.
It's a big game changer. But isn't that what the postseason is? I mean, we lament the fact that the Blazers naysayers will be like, oh, well, win a series without Chris Paul getting hurt. Win a series without Blake Griffin getting hurt. Well, a lot of playoff basketball comes down to, are your stars healthy? How healthy are they moving down the stretch? 55305 is the Better You Today text line. Blazers get game one against the Oklahoma City Thunder in Moda Center. Game two tomorrow night in Moda, and that one will be back on local TV. You're going to have Collabs and Lamar and Brooke back on the call for that one. That was a spotlight game yesterday on ABC, and Damian Lillard shines in it, as does Enes Kanter and CJ McCollum. Your feedback on the Better You Today text line 55305. We're just getting started with Blazers talk and the biggest story of the day. We're rolling out something new here coming up at 6:30. Tiger Woods. Is it the greatest comeback in sports we've seen? Here's Buck with SportsCenter.
Down here, it's our time. It's our time down here.
Every morning at 6:30, Dusty and Cam want to hear from you.
Come out to the coast. We get together, have a few laughs.
It's time for Dusty and Cam's P1 Social.
Want me to drive?
No, I'll drive.
The time of the day where you drive the conversation.
Well, we're waiting.
Text us on the Better You Today text line at 55305 and get social with us.
This is your time.
On 1080.
Now go out there and take it.
The Fan.
All right, something new for you.
Hey, a little new, a little improved.
There we go. We got a P1 Social is what we're calling this now. Textual, you're fired. P1 Social, you're hired.
It ran its course. It was time. I like change. You like a little change every now and then?
Move over Marvin Gaye. We're here for Weird Science.
Yeah, baby. We're a little Oingo Boingo in your morning.
Oingo Boingo. People forget.
You forget. No, you never forget Oingo Boingo.
All right, new segment. Same concept, though. You guys drive the conversation. Tiger Woods won his 15th major yesterday, and he did it in comeback fashion. Something that we're not used to seeing in Tiger Woods major championship wins. Usually it is put the pressure on and let everybody else crumble around him. This time, he had to come back for it. Is this the greatest comeback in sports?
Well,
that is the conversation.
That is the conversation. That's the question we're going to ask all of you. For us, at least I can only speak for myself. I've been around a long time to watch golf. I first got addicted to golf when I was 15 years old when I grabbed my buddy's Persimmon Woods out in Cedarwood and hit one so hard it went, I don't know how far. It just felt like a tuning fork going off in my hand. I had no idea. Never played it before. Grabbed it and we hit it into the farmland. And I've been addicted ever since. Tiger Woods made golf for me cool. Because it wasn't. It was bad saddle shoes. Mm-hmm. It was goofy Greg Norman hats, which are fine. And, you know,
baggy,
fedoras.
Baggy clothes.
Very stuffy stuff. This is what he does. He's done it now for a generation. There were guys, and I mean, there are so many ways that I can go into after this. But from the start of the tournament to the finish, listening to what I took out of this most was listening to everyone who was a part of this. that just was his playing partners, mm-hmm. the guys that were in the tournament. Every single one of them knew what this meant for golf and knew what it meant for him, because every single one of them can write their checks. They should write 20 to 50%. Just, it's a big gap. And write it to Tiger Woods. He's the reason why the purses are so big, the television coverage, the equipment, the balls, the shoes are all because of what he created in the last 22 years. And to see this, I there wasn't a moment when I wasn't embracing every second of it and enjoying the emotional meltdown, because guess what he brought on the back nine at Augusta? He brought the intimidation factor back. He brought Francesco Molinari, who arguably was the best player in the world at the time. Brooks Koepka, who had won three out of the last six majors. He brought them and humbled them as they all melted a little bit. They had to make a few putts. Tony Finau playing with him. Both his playing partners in the most important hole in all of golf, which is 12th on Augusta, both hit it in the water. Mm-hmm. Changed everything. Yeah. And then he took it to a level on 16 that I went game over, game, set, match, as that 8-iron trickled in. I thought he was going to make a hole in one.
There was, like, Tiger Woods, you mentioned him kind of changing the game for you, because you guys are the same age?
We're exactly the same age. I'm just a skosh. I'm August birthday. He is a December birthday.
1996, I remember, that's the first time I heard of Tiger Woods. It's when the U.S. Amateur was out here at Pumpkin Ridge, and Tiger mm-hmm. won it. And I think we all remember, they still have, like, a little placard or little sign on the course at Pumpkin Ridge. It says, this is the drainage cover that Tiger won the U.S. Amateur off of, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it was one of those iconic moments. I remember that buzz about him and, you know, my parents being like, yeah, this apparently the next big thing is here this weekend.
Yeah.
That's the first time that I remember hearing of Tiger Woods. And then he made golf cool for kids that are my age, you know? When we were going through that, I was 12 in 96. I was 14 when he won his first major, and boom, it was that rise to fame and stardom for Tiger Woods to go down and kind of hit the lows that he did. Mm-hmm. It was amazing.
Yeah, there was a couple things, and the texts are true coming in. It said the naysaying, I almost didn't it. Yeah, I mean, oh, I'm sorry, that was a different thing. I was looking. Sorry, quick tangent. The naysayers, because this got me thinking. Everybody that said, for the last 11 years, he's never going to do it again. I've seen the clip of all the media heads, the talking heads saying he's a shell of himself. You know, four back surgeries, three knee surgeries, an Achilles tendon rupture repair. He sat at the Champions dinner last year, and you heard him tell that story. But if you look at, he looked over at Nick Faldo and said, Nick, I don't think I'm ever going to be able to play again. I mean, that was truthful. I don't think he's joking about it. He's going to tell those guys. Mm-hmm. An emotional wreck from wrecking, pulling over in his car on whatever he was on, okay, getting arrested, going through all that. How is this not the greatest sports comeback you've ever seen?
It's pretty cool. It is one of them, but I think with Tiger Woods, it gets amplified that much more. Because think of it in these terms. He won 14 majors in 11 years. From 97 to 2008? Was his last major victory when he won the U.S. Open. It was 11 years. It's been 11 years since he's won one.
And you know what? Here's the other thing. And this text says it perfectly. It says, I have no problem admitting that I'm not a Tiger fan, which there are a lot of you out there. But this, he goes on to say, in 2008, he was limping around Torrey Pines on a broken leg. He won it. Okay. And would never win another. It took him 11 years, but he proved he can do it. He played mistake-free golf and Sunday and watch everyone else implode. They didn't implode. He brought back the Tiger effect. That's what I'm saying. But he said it was beyond impressive. He went from winning a major championship on a broken leg mm-hmm. to now with a back that all of us would probably be lamed up in our beds.
I'm reading an article in the San Diego Union Tribune. The guy goes on Twitter. It's Dr. David Chow. He used to be the team doctor for the Chargers. Now he's pro football doc, and he writes. He said, and he is saying that, this win, the most impressive part about it is that, like, he says, if you are a healthy individual in your 20s or 30s mm-hmm. and you have to get a back fusion, a single one, he goes, you're probably not going to win again. He goes, the fact that it was like a double fusion, he's 43. He said he's a medical marvel. What Tiger Woods is doing is medically something that doctors are going, this is insane.
But it's not, because I don't look at it as a medical marvel. He is a personal marvel. He is an athletic marvel. It's not just medical, because there's nobody that I've ever seen in sports. There's a couple guys that I watch, and I watch them play. There was somebody, and I was sitting across, with my cousin as we were watching it together with the kids, and I just looked at him and said, there is a – you want the ball in somebody's hands in all of sports. You want it in Tom Brady's hands. You want it in Michael Jordan, okay, Kobe Bryant. But there was something about Tigers that – how could you doubt somebody – that had the ability to dominate an entire sport like he did. And just to say that it's over. You know, Jack came back and did it at 46. You can always rekindle just one moment. But the thing about him is that if you tell that guy he can't do something over and over and over again, everybody gave it so much fuel. It was inevitable. It was inevitable. You win a tour championship last year. That's not a fluke. That's the top 30 players in the world at the end of the season.
Yes, but what I'm saying, on it's what you're saying, and then on top of it, he is a medical marvel as well. Like, what you say is 100%, I agree. That's what makes it so impressive, and you could sit there and say, we're not being prisoners of the moment. This comeback may be one of the greatest comebacks in sports history that we've ever seen. He's an icon on the golf course. He changed the way players are played the game or paid. The players play the game and the entire industry of golf. And now he gets his 15th major title in impressive fashion yesterday. 55305, the Better You Today text line. Is this the greatest comeback we've seen? This is P1 Social. Your feedback next on The Fan.
Many doubted we'd ever see it, but here it is. The return to glory.
That roar is one that you will never forget. No. The Tiger roars are aplenty at major tournaments, but that one was special.
Yeah. This text comes in and says, P1 Social here on the Better You Today text line says, when Tiger got hurt, golf was dying. And it still is. And I agree with that. Adidas was sold to TaylorMade. Nike stopped making golf equipment. The industry was dying. Who knew if this will change? But at 43, Tiger changes everything.
Yeah.
He did. He controlled it all. He made courses built across the world. And now they're housing developments because everyone exploded. But it didn't change the fact that there wasn't one person on that golf course that if you were lucky enough to be at the Masters and watch that and be there, there's going to, you know how we always talk about sometimes in the summertime, signature moments of where you are, where you know exactly where you are.
Yep.
Everybody in that watched that, or you'll know exactly where you are.
What moment was it?
You remember every second of it.
What moment was it when you sat there and you thought, done, this thing's over?
Well, originally I said 16, but if I go back, as soon as Molinari hit it in the water on 12, because Jack has said it for years, and everybody knows, is that when in doubt, you aim over the middle of the bunker, and what did Francesco dunks it in the water, Tiger hits it right over the bunker and says, all I got to do is two-putt, which was a heck of a two-putt, by the way. And then Tony Finau stuffs it right in the water. And they both make five. And you could just feel just everybody stood up and went, whoa. And then the drive, did you see the drive that Tiger hit on 13? Did you happen to see what happened?
I was going
to
say that was my moment, was 13.
The ball is out of bounds. No, it's not out of bounds. That was going to be it was going to be a lost ball. Lucky if he could find it. What's it do? Careens off a branch to where he has 8-iron. Into the hole.
Well, and that was the thing with me. It was 13.
Holy
because
moly.
After he hit it, it was like that Tiger pose, that posture, which is, you guys are screwed. I'm here. On 13, he started like, he was kind of behind everybody.
Oh, it was pouring down rain. It was raining hard
and then
at that point.
On 13, after that drive, he was out in front. Yeah. And it was like, all right, you guys are now chasing me. And it, like, literally, he would stand in front of his opponents and just watch them with his arms folded. Yeah. That was awesome to me.
And the other hard part about this is it's an individual sport, because this is an individual effort. If we compare it to Jordan coming back and wearing number 45 and then winning three more championships, if you look at guys that are older players that do it in the team sport thing, that's cool. But this is the ultimate individual sport, kind of like tennis or watching some of these older players being able to come back. It'd be like Roger Federer, I don't know, having a hip dislocation and separating his elbow taking 5 years off and coming back and winning the U.S. Open in tennis. I don't even know if there's – that's not even possible. Yeah. I don't even know how that's possible.
Well, in this text on the Better You Today, text line 55305, is there a bigger public downfall and redemption story in history? Taking into account the news media era we live in, the 24-hour news cycle and social media. Well, I don't think you even need to take that into account. Like, there's horrible people that have been propped up in sports lore, but Tiger really is the first one where – think of all the shots that Tiger's taken over the years.
He's a horrible person.
And no, I'm not saying that. Oh, I'm just taking.
You said horrible.
No,
person,
I've said people. There's been a lot of in the past. I said that we've propped up.
I don't think
Tiger
a horrible person,
is but. A guy. I don't either. But Tiger is a guy that has been. People have taken shots at him. He's had the infidelity behind it. He's had the DUIs. Yeah. He's had the pills on him. We have all of these documented things. And we also live in an era where people are like, you can't make mistakes anymore. I think there's millions of people that were cheering for Tiger Woods yesterday that say, we still do love it, a redemption story. It's how you handle yourself after you hit those tough patches and those rough spots. And for Tiger Woods, it's I don't know how much he's changed, if he's changed anything about who he is off the course, but he's stayed out of the limelight to an extent to where people do forget, and people do want guys to recover, and we'll prop them back up.
You just said it, too, because you mentioned nobody can make mistakes anymore. I think that was you can see everybody, all his teammates, his Ryder Cup teammates, some of the guys congratulating, hanging out afterwards. Do you ever see guys, did anybody hang out and talk to Patrick Reed and give him a high five? And that they know what it was for him to win. Phil Mickelson doing and putting out on social media, talking about how great it was. But you said it. We're so locked into you can't make mistakes. How many people that we grew up with have just had now all their checkered pasts have come to light and it's destroying their history. Here's somebody that finally just said, hey, all that crap that happened at this moment here in Augusta, Georgia, we could let it all go and we could go back in time. And that's why Augusta is the greatest. It is. It's the only place where you can step back in time and everything is wiped away. Social media, phones, your 100 years ago, and you could just forget it all. And that's why he won at the Masters.
Yeah.
It was a perfect setup.
I always think of in these terms, like I've always thought you can still make mistakes and people will get over it, because it's not about making the mistake. It's how you handle yourself in the wake of that mistake, right? Or those mistakes that you make. And do you stay out of the limelight and continue, or do you just continue being an idiot and making bad choices? If you continue to make bad choices, we won't. P1 Mohawk, this is the greatest. This isn't about overcoming a deficit. He overcame multiple serious injuries. He overcame public shaming, negative media, naysayers and doubters, overcoming Father Time and his first major victory when trailing going into the final round. No other comeback compares to this. There's too many things at play.
I hope everybody that said he would never, and that's the other, those words never enter into my mindset, but I'm not like that. I'm not even close to Tiger, but anybody that ever said, I never gave up on hope. With that, he would win another championship. Never, never. And I wouldn't until he's taken the dirt nap and I'm not here. But anybody that sat there and said or doubted that he could do it again, he'll never. Man, you don't think that he just put that in the Rolodex?
It was awesome.
He just put it right in the Rolodex, all the naysayers. Awesome. That's what drives you to be better.
And one thing that I also like, too, about this is we discussed this on Thursday, right before the first round, when we were talking about, or no, it was Friday because he shot a 70. And the whole talk was, this is how Tiger's done it before. He shot 70. He's been in the hunt come Friday. And then Saturday drops a hammer. And we had the conversation of, he can't do it like he did before.
But he did.
Well, no, he didn't. Because he came from behind in the final round. He's always been in front.
Well, no, he's not. I mean, you got to understand. He did it once in 97. But every other time he chased down Chris DeMarco in a playoff, there was a Tiger effect that brought back 2005 to me, that brought back that moment of watching. Remember, he chipped in to go to a playoff.
Okay, right.
He only ran away one time. He ran away at the U.S. Open, but at the Masters, he ran away from everybody in 97.
Well, I get
Everybody who's super good golfer now was never intimidated. He didn't have that intimidation, but Molinar even looked at it and goes, it got me.
There is
it got me.
Well, no, we're talking about different. He didn't have to ever come back from he's down two heading into the final round, and he did it. And then everybody else, like, what reminded us of those times is everybody crumbling around him and just going, we're toast. And there's a great Xander Schauffele was talking about how he was sitting on 16, or he's sitting on 17 tee box, and he heard on 16 the roar of the crowd, and he goes, I knew we were done. It was Tigers to win at that point, and so we did it. 55305, the better you. Today, text line. P1 Social, we'll get some more of your feedback as the show goes on. Coming up next hour, the Blazers take game one. Case of the Mondays as well at 7:45, but hot and cool next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.